You're listening to The Point. Mezzo-soprano Andrea Baker has performed in opera houses around the world, playing title roles in many different productions. She's returning to the States and Cape Cod with her new program titled Sing, Sister, Sing. Andrea Baker, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, you have an incredible voice, and for listeners who may not be familiar with your work, I want to start with a clip right off you performing this from Porgy and Bess. Wow. Did you always have a dream of performing opera?
I started out with a real interest in classical music. My mother's a singer. I come from a musical family. And as they say in the family, I sort of came out singing. Mm. So my first choice really was classical music, and in particular opera. As a young kid.
So even as a kid?
Yeah.
Wow.
As a young kid, as I said, Maggie Bossy, famous on the Cape, was my music teacher in high school, and did my first opera with her when I was 15.
Wow. Now, for me, that is just, it's like opera is, it's like you're taking your voice and it's like an instrument. I'm always amazed when I watch opera singers perform and we do interviews to see that. It's just... to you, was it something that kind of came naturally, or were you taught?
It came naturally, but always with these things, one study, practice, study some more. And so I started taking private voice lessons as a very young kid. And so the technique sort of grew out of that. And the longer you're at it, you know, the more you learn and the more you try and hone your craft. And those who know me will know that I'm blessed with a rather loud instrument naturally. So it's just a question of sort of, you know, polishing and learning good technique.
Yeah. Were there African-American opera singers that you looked up to or looked to?
Well, it's interesting that the excerpt that you just heard was from Porgy and Bess. And Porgy and Bess is sort of known as the first opera, the first African-American opera, even though it wasn't written by African-Americans. It was written by the Gershwin brothers. And African-American women have been performing opera for quite some time. And that's an unknown story that I try to bring to people in my piece Sing, Sister, Sing, which is a celebration not just of pop, jazz, blues, and gospel singers, but also of great African-American opera singers. So for me, growing up, the women that I really admired, Leontine Price, Jessie Norman, Kathy Battle, they were idols because they were live performing at the time. But in doing this piece and learning and studying and finding hidden history, I discovered that the African-American opera tradition goes back a lot further than one would think. Our first opera diva was a woman named Elizabeth Greenfield, who made her debut at the Metropolitan Concert Hall in 1853.
Wow.
She was born a slave and came north and studied. And as they say, she got to Carnegie Hall with practice, practice, practice. So, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned working with Maggie Bossy from the Cape, and your roots in Massachusetts run deep. So before we get to your early music training, we've talked a little bit about that. Tell us more about your family connection to Massachusetts.
It's a very interesting family connection that, again, through my show, I've just really started to learn a bit about. My great-grandfather, Thomas Nelson Baker, came to Massachusetts and was a minister in the Congregational Church in Pittsfield. He was a prolific writer and the first African-American to get a PhD in philosophy from Yale. And he was born a slave. And so from learning about him and following his lineage, I've discovered that there's quite an extensive connection to Massachusetts for me long before I came here in the 70s. Growing up here, not knowing about that feels a bit strange now to be sort of researching and finding out past history. But that is, you know, new with the whole DNA and opening of archives and things. So it's a subject that's very close to my heart and features very prominently in this piece.
Yeah. And how did you end up in Scotland? You're living in Scotland now. How did that happen?
I'm, as a lot of opera singers are, and in particular a lot of American opera singers, because the opportunities here, although it's a large country, there are not a lot of opera houses. We tend to travel where the opera is. And so I left Massachusetts and went to San Francisco and started my career there. And after auditioning and auditioning and auditioning, was offered a job in Germany. And that's where I really started my career as a soloist. And in Germany, got a job that took me to Australia. And after that, we decided, my partner and I wanted to get back to the sea. And so we chose Scotland. He is from Inverness. And I have been there ever since. I love it. It's as close to New England as you can get without being in New England.
Now, we were talking about Maggie Bossy a minute ago. And you mentioned you worked with her at 15. Was it your 15 when you started with her?
Yeah, well, in high school, yeah.
In high school. So how did you connect with her? What was that early training like with her?
Maggie Bossy's fabulous. She was the choir mistress for the women's choir at the high school. And an extraordinary musician herself. She really molded talent and cracked the whip when necessary. And as all young, talented musicians or sports winners, you know, we don't like to practice. Mm-hmm. And so Maggie's great contribution to me and a continuing mentorship is a guiding, supportive light, a source of learning and knowledge, but also somebody that will tell the hard truths when need be. And I'm really grateful for that from her.
All right, so we're mentioning your new work is titled Sing, Sister, Sing. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about the program and where this idea came from.
The piece was first premiered in Edinburgh at the Fringe Festival in 2015. And the Fringe Festival is the largest festival in Europe. And it's basically a pay-to-perform festival. But in 3 weeks, there are 3,500 different shows to see.
Wow.
So I thought, living just outside Edinburgh, why don't I give this a go in my time off in the summer? And I wanted to do something celebrating African-American women in music. And what started as just sort of a greatest hits of my favorites became a real journey of history learning and of excitement, because I was learning about my family and my musical history, but also learning untold stories about people that I should have known about and that I wanted to tell audiences about, to bring that history to them. And so at the start, it was a 1 hour show. And from that, it was invited to Germany in a full sort of 90 minute show in German at an international festival there. So I've been performing in Germany quite a bit in German.
Wow.
And made a Swedish debut with the show this year as well. And bringing it back to Massachusetts is sort of bringing it back to where it all began. And again, in English, don't worry, I won't be.
Is that difficult, though? I mean, you're doing it in English and all of a sudden you have to translate that to another language. I would think that would be kind of hard, no?
It is difficult. But the nice thing about the show is that it's malleable. I look for women who were trailblazers in each country I take the piece to. And I speak fluent German, so although translations are difficult, it was easier than had I not spoken the language. And it was really important to bring the stories in their language to them.
Yeah. All right, let's hear a piece from the project. This is God Bless the Child.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, your papa may have, but God bless the child. That's got his own. Yes, the strong ones, they won't smoke, while the weak ones, yes, they fade. empty pockets don't make the grave may have. Your papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Money, you got lots of friends crying.
Powerful instrument.
Thank you.
So there are a number of amazing female African-American singers. Were there particular ones that you had in mind when you put together this work? And you kind of said it evolved, and so you included more. But how did you go about choosing which singers and then which songs?
Well, I tried to find songs that I liked from the women that I wanted to talk about. So at the start, I picked favorites of mine from the different genres. For example, Josephine Baker featured very heavily, and her work as a civil rights activist is not very well known. And also her work in France as an activist is also not well known. And so I started, you know, with a list of favorite singers and their digging up stories, and then trying to find a way to pull them together. And I used a story quilt to sort of tell the story of the piece, and that made it easier to jump from one style of music to another. And the year that I first did it was the 100th anniversary of Billie Holiday's birth. And so she featured very prominently that year. So she was sort of the centerpiece of the evening. And we've since changed that out. We did a mini tour here last year, and that was the 100th anniversary of Ella Fitzgerald's birthday. So it's constantly changing, but I try to find interesting stories with exciting music, and a lot of this style of music is new for me in that I've had a long career as an opera singer, but I have not yet until this piece had the chance to sing blues and jazz and gospel all in the same evening. So it's kind of on one side picking the stuff that I've always wanted to sing. I feature a native African-American sister from Massachusetts, of course, being a child of the 70s, Donna Summer. So it was it's really quite exciting to finally get my opera disco groove on.
But now, did that make you a little bit nervous, though? I mean, here you are, you're an opera singer, and you know you're a great singer, but you have all these different genres, and you are singing some pretty incredible women's songs. Were you worried about, you know, getting it right?
Yeah, it's you know, when you've been doing something for so long, you're always looking for new and interesting projects and activities and ways to grow. And for me, I really wanted to learn to sing pop music stylistically correctly and with the right instrument, jazz music, gospel, blues. And so it was exciting to learn that different style of singing. The voice is the same. In the piece, I do not try to become Billie Holiday or become Josephine Baker or, God forbid, become Marian Anderson. That's just impossible. Right. So the trick is to find my own way to interpret their music and to honor them with songs that made them famous, mm-hmm. as opposed to trying to morph into them, 50 yeah. different women in an hour and a half.
Right. So are you telling the stories in between the songs? So you're telling us about, like, the work of Josephine Baker.
Yeah, it's storytelling, rollicking piano, this in the North America with Peter Maletsky. And I tell the stories about the women, some stories about myself, explain how I got to where I got with some of these women. And I think people will be surprised. There's humor, there's you'll shed a tear. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that these women accomplished that has not been retold. Mm. And it's a great way to honor them and to get their stories out there so that hopefully they won't be forgotten.
All right. So let's hear another from Sing, Sister, Sing. And this is Women Be Wise. Do you want to tell us anything about this before?
Yes. I mentioned quickly that when I first did the show that we were honoring Billie Holiday. And in the center of my quilt this year is an extraordinary woman named Linda Hopkins. And Linda Hopkins is the first African-American woman to write and star in her own one-woman Broadway show, for which she won a Tony. It's still the longest-running Broadway show by an African-American, a one-woman Broadway show by an African-American woman. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And the name of the piece was Bessie and Me. And it celebrated the life and the story of the great blues singer Bessie Smith. So this year is a celebration of all those early trailblazer blues singer-songwriters who for the first time told our stories of love, loss, joy, sorrow, and sometimes just sitting in the pub getting a drink on in a uniquely African-American way.
What a good man can really do. Some women nowadays, Lord, ain't no good. They laugh in your face, then try to steal your man from you. Yeah. Women be wise, keep your mouth shut. Don't advertise your man. Now, your best girlfriend, she might be all highbrow. She changing her clothes 3 times a day. Lord have mercy. Well, if she's doing now, yeah, while you're so far away, she's loving your man in your damn bed, yeah. You better call the doctor, mama. Gotta investigate you, yeah.
There are so many different styles represented here, as you've been talking about. You know, we have opera, jazz, blues, gospel. Is it difficult to shift in between those different kinds of genres as you're going through this program?
It is. Practice, practice, practice. but it's a totally new direction for me. It's a different way to reach audiences. It's a subject that I'm incredibly passionate about, and I'm incredibly thankful to these women for all the early work they did that made it possible for me to have a career in opera and in music, and bringing their stories to young women and young boys who need mm-hmm. to know that just because they're a pop singer or a jazz singer doesn't mean they were working fastidiously in the background to make sure that the world was a better place, yeah. not just by making people feel good on stage, but by living the deed. Mm. And that's great fun to be able to bring to people. It crosses barriers of race, language, nationality. Everybody wants to just enjoy themselves with good old-fashioned live music.
Yeah, and you're certainly having some fun with it.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And it's great not to have to wear heels and a corset on an opera stage. So, yeah.
And that's one thing about every opera, right? The costumes are always amazing.
Yeah, but that's the exciting part. You know, you transform yourself into a different person. And with this, I get to try and become Andrea Baker, the blues singer, and Andrea Baker, the gospel singer. So it's a quick shift with each number. Yeah. Right.
So the CD was not recorded in a studio, but in a church. So tell us about that. And was that a challenge?
We thought that it would be a challenge because we recorded in the center of Edinburgh, which has cobblestone streets, which can be extremely loud. And of course, we all know about traffic. But the church that we picked, Stockbridge Parish Church in Edinburgh, was a wonderful location. Great Steinway. And strangely enough, we had no street noise. So it was a perfect size we checked in for 3 days and worked all day for 3 days to get the CD laid out. But my producer, Alan Ramsey, was really excited and surprised at how the acoustic was fabulous. That was a given. It's a famous concert venue in Edinburgh, but we were unaware of how wonderful the space was to record in, how wonderful the space was to get a great acoustic sound, and they made us feel incredibly comfortable. It was my first solo CD, so yes, there were nerves a-jangling, so yeah.
Now, you had mentioned earlier there are more opportunities for opera singers in Europe than there are in America. So is the music scene in Europe very different than what it is in America?
It's different in that there's a lot more opera houses in Europe. Every town, Woods Hole would have a house, Dennis would have a house, the Cape would have one, Boston would have one, Western Massachusetts would have one. They're also traditionally a lot more open to giving opportunities to black singers. The United States, thanks to people like Lawrence Brownlee and people like Leontine Price, are opening doors and making a way for new singers, people like Kathy Battle, who broke a lot of boundaries here. But many of our greatest chose to find other artistic opportunities abroad. And for me, that was a great way to learn. It was a great way to get my repertoire, but it was also a good way to feel free of the burden of having to, you know, jump that particular hurdle. I'm not suggesting that Europe is perfect, not suggesting that there are not casting issues still, that people of color women and men, we all know about Me Too, that didn't just happen here. So there are challenges, and America is, of course, getting a lot better. It's there are more opportunities, but here we have some work to do.
Yeah. All right. So now that you've done this in the show and you've got all these different musical genres that you're performing in, what genre do you think best expresses your inner truth? Is it opera?
It's opera, probably. Wagner, German, and that's where I spent most of my career, in the German dramatic repertoire. So vocally for me, that's where I really feel the most comfortable. But I have to say, for pushing the boundaries, I really am enjoying my blues and gospel singing and connecting with that. You know, New England doesn't have the largest gospel tradition, so I'm learning and finding that inner voice and figuring out a way to hone that skill as well.
Andrea Baker will perform Sing, Sister, Sing on June 2nd at the Kituat Center for the Arts as part of the 10th anniversary celebration of Zion Union Heritage Museum. We're going to go out on another piece from Sing, Sister, Sing. So, Andrea, what is this piece that we're going to hear?
Well, just a quick note. This is Zur Eignung by Strauss in honor of the great Marian Anderson, an African-American concert singer who single-handedly sort of desegregated concert venues here and famously sang for 200,000 people in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And she really is the rock for all of us as modern singers. So we finished with Zur Eignung, and if you fancy checking out the show, as you said, on June 2nd, and the CD, as always, is available in all regular outlets, both online.
Andrea Baker, thanks so much for coming in. It was really enjoyable meeting
you. Great. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.